Good morning and Christian greetings to each one present. It's good to see the house well filled, good to see visitors in our midst. We trust you can feel at home with us today. This week is Thanksgiving, as already has been mentioned, and I intend to preach a message related very much to that. My title this morning is A Life of Gratitude. A Life of Gratitude. There's a number of words that would be good for us to think exactly what they mean that are related to this word gratitude that I have in my title. We have words like thanks and thankfulness and grateful and gratitude. What do they all mean? I think that is helpful for us to understand the depths of a life of gratitude. Gratitude and thankfulness are synonyms. The Bible often mentions thankfulness and thankful. But gratitude and thankfulness are synonyms. But gratitude's definition is a little different. Thankfulness simply means impressed with a sense of kindness received. That's a simple definition. Impressed with a sense of kindness received. So I am thankful when I have received something. If I am impressed with the thoughts of the giver and the sense of kindness that he had. Gratitude is a warm and friendly feeling, excited by a favor or benefit received. A warm or friendly feeling inside that's excited by a favor or a benefit received. And along with that warm feeling goes with a strong desire that because of this benefit that I received, I want to make a suitable return of benefits or services to the person or being who gave it to me. That's gratitude. Then we use the word grateful. What does grateful mean? Well, having a due sense of benefits. In other words, we're connected with life enough that we can connect with the benefits that we have in life. It is possible to go through life without connecting with the benefits. It's possible to do that. But to be grateful is that we connect with the benefits. And grateful also is willing to acknowledge and repay benefits. So it's not just something that I feel in my heart. If I'm grateful, then I'm willing to say so. And I'm willing to figure out how I could repay those benefits to someone. To say thanks or thank you literally means to express gratitude and to also express the thought that I am obliged to you. I'm obliged to do a favor for you because of what you have done for me. Another definition of the word thanks, to lay under obligation of gratitude. This is a week when our country celebrates Thanksgiving, and I'm glad that they do. But many times I fear that the real meaning of Thanksgiving and the real meaning of thankfulness is not present in our Thanksgiving celebrations. An unknown writer wrote this quote. We're thinking directly about a life of gratitude, a heart that's filled with gratitude. How do I know if I'm living a life of gratitude? How do I know if there's really gratitude in my heart? How do I know if I'm thankful? He wrote this, "It isn't what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but it is what you have in your heart." And what do you and I have in our hearts today? How do we know what we have in our hearts? Turn with me to Isaiah 63 for an opening passage. Isaiah 63. Verse 7. Isaiah 63, verse 7. Here we have an expression of praise and thanksgiving. "I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses." I will mention the loving kindnesses. I'm thinking directly about thanksgiving to God in this passage. And Isaiah says, "I will mention the loving kindnesses of God." When was the last time you did that? That was a challenge to me to think about that. Am I interested in mentioning and in talking about the loving kindnesses that God has blessed my life with? And this phrase you'll find in the verse, "and all that the Lord hath bestowed on us." What has the Lord bestowed on you? And he says, "the great goodness toward the house of Israel." Toward the Jewish people, the great goodness of God that's toward them because of his mercies. And then he says, "the multitude of God's loving kindnesses." How many are in a multitude? Well, a multitude is a very great number. In fact, it is an indefinite number. So Isaiah is saying that he couldn't list them all. He couldn't count them when he uses that word multitude of his loving kindnesses. So it's good for us to think about, what has God given you personally? What has he given me? Isaiah is writing to the Jews, but thinking about the Gentiles, what great goodness have we, the Gentiles, been blessed with? What great goodness have you as a family been blessed with? What great goodness have we as the Ridgeview Mennonite Church been blessed with? In what ways has God been merciful to you personally? In what ways has God been merciful to you as a family? What's in the list of the multitude of loving kindnesses of God personally in your life? Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He mentions redeeming the time. And one of the ways we can redeem time is by giving thanks always unto God. And we can redeem the time by singing. He mentions that in verse 19. I have just a little lesson for the children, but it's a lesson that continues for all adults. I would like to welcome the boys who are 8 years old to come up here. I have just a couple questions for you. So if you're eight, you can come up here. The boys who are eight. All right, paper bags always have something in them, right? Do you have a guess? Anybody like to guess what's in the bag? You can touch it on the outside. What's in there? A gift. Well, it's hard to guess. So we'll just open it. Could be a gift. Somebody could give it as a gift. What is it?
A bird feeder.
Okay. What are bird feeders good for? Yes.
Birds.
Okay. Good for birds. What do the birds have to do to get a meal out of a bird feeder? What do they have to do? Do they have to go out and hoe in the garden first? So what do the birds have to do before they get something to eat? Do they have to do anything? It's free, isn't it? It's hanging outside, it's free. All they have to do is come, stick their beak in there, and get something to eat. It's free. Who fills the bird feeder? Me? Okay, so if I have the bird feeder, I fill it. Who fills the bird feeder at your house at home? Yes?
Mom.
Your mom, okay. So all the birds have to do is come and eat. They don't have to work for what's in there. All they have to do is come and eat. Let's think about that being the dinner table. Probably some of you boys are thinking about dinner table. What might be on the dinner table an hour or two from now? What do you have to do to get food off the dinner table? Chuckles.
They have to crack it open.
They have to crack it open. Okay, if it's seeds, they have to crack it open. That's true. What do you have to do to get food on your dinner table? Yes.
Ask.
Okay. That might be true. Will you get any food if you don't ask for it? The truth of the matter is you don't even have to ask, right? All you have to do is sit up to the table, pick up your spoon, and start eating. What do you have to do? What did I miss?
You have to thank God.
You have to thank God. Thank you for correcting me. Very good. You have to thank God for the food. Who puts the food on the table? Can you tell us? Who puts the food on your table when you get home? Douglas.
Mom.
Your mother. Okay. What should you say when you're done eating? Yes. Thank you for the food. Okay. Thank you for your time. You can go back to your seats. So there's not very much that the birds have to do to get a meal. It's a self-feeder. As long as the recipient continues to put something in there daily, there's always something there for the birds. And I think it's like that in our homes. The boys indicated that when they were up here, but all of you children expect that when you get home, there's going to be something on the table and you're going to sit up and eat it as children. Brother David mentioned this morning that he wishes he was a farmer. And I wish that all of you were farmers. Because I fear that our generation is losing the touch with where food comes from. I fear that we're raising young people who really don't understand that. And I fear that I, as an adult, when I pray and thank God for the food, forget how I got it. It's pretty easy. Let me ask this question to you adults. What do you have to do to get food?
Swipe your credit card.
Okay, swipe your credit card. Go to the grocery store. And it's there in abundance. Who literally fills the table in your house? The boys gave a good answer, but do you have a better one? Who fills the table in your house? Anyone know? It's more than one right answer. Okay, somebody planted something. Sometime, somewhere, you don't get anything if no one planted anything. And you don't get anything if God doesn't water it. And the credit card won't buy anything if God doesn't provide rain and sunshine. There'll be nothing for it to buy. Our tables are a little bit more like that bird feeder than we would like to admit. God fills them. And yes, there's things that mankind does to fill his table. But there's nothing that mankind can do if God shuts off the switch of the sun. The table's going to be empty. You can apply that to many areas of life. You can apply that to the clothing you have on this morning. You can apply that to the properties that you own, that you claim are yours when they are really God's. You can apply that to the house furnishings in your house. You could apply that to life itself. The heartbeat inside of you. Is a daily gift from God. That if he decides to shut down, it stops. And so the life that you and I have, no longer we have it. You can apply that to spiritual food. We thought about physical food, but you think about the Bibles that we have in this country that are full of spiritual food. It's a little like that bird feeder. It's full. It's here. It's right in your hands. You can feast on it every day. We can feast on it here in our worship service this morning. It's always full. It's never empty. It isn't what you have in your pocket that makes you thankful, but it is what you have in your heart. What is a life of gratitude? What is it? I have 5 points in the remainder of the message that I believe are true definitions of what is a life of gratitude. I'm sure you can add many more to this list, and it would be worthwhile for you to do that. Many things in our world surrounding this time of year defy Thanksgiving, and Black Friday's one of them. There's nothing about Thanksgiving in Black Friday. Absolutely nothing. It opposes Thanksgiving. What is a life of gratitude? It is a life that recognizes God's multitudes of blessings. And we've been talking about that. But just putting it down in a simple point. A life of gratitude is a life that recognizes God's multitude of blessings. Everything from physical blessings to spiritual blessings. Blessings of life and health and strength. Point number 2. It is a heart that is impressed with the kindness of other people. A heart that is impressed with the kindness of other people. It is possible to live life and not think and not be impressed by the kindness of other people. I've experienced that at times in my life. God wants us to be impressed with the kindness of other people. And he wants us to be so impressed, so much so that we want to repay them. We want to repay them in some way. That's a heart of gratitude. If we can't figure out any way to repay them, then we get down on our knees and we wish God's blessing on their life. Because we love them, because we have seen the kindness that they printed upon our lives. Point number three, a grateful heart is generous. A grateful heart is generous. Generous is the opposite of stingy, the opposite of greedy. Generosity honors our generous Creator. Generosity honors our generous Creator. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Read just two verses there. I talk about generosity. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. A generous heart has pity on the poor. And when he lends to the poor man or helps the poor man in any way, he's lending unto the Lord. And God will pay him back for what he did. But a generous heart will forget that part of the verse. A generous heart will not say, well, I'm going to keep on giving so that God gives me more and God gives me more. No, we'll forget about the end of the verse. Proverbs 28. Verse 27. 28:27. It is a promise. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Hebrews 13:16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to share with others, don't forget to do that, because those sacrifices are well pleasing to God. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we're spiritual people, if we have a song within our hearts, then we're ready to help those in need, those that have spiritual burdens, those that have physical burdens. We're ready to bear other people's burdens. That takes effort and work, sacrifice. Luke chapter 6. The words of Jesus. Luke chapter 6. And verse 38. Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So they were very familiar in Bible times with measuring grain to sell or give to their neighbor. And he says, when you measure the grain, fill it up full, shake it, press it down, run it over. Get as much in as you can so that the person receiving what they're buying from you gets full measure. And with what measure you measure, it'll be measured unto you. And in many ways in life, that is true, not just when selling grain. The generous soul is blessed by others. May we be generous people. That's a sign of a grateful heart. A man, a woman, or a child who is generous has a song of gratefulness in his heart. Point number five. A grateful heart is able to see blessings of the past. A grateful heart is able to see blessings of the past. Past forgivenesses of God in my life, can I see them? Past impact of other people on my life, can I see that? Can I express that? I met a man at a funeral recently who I knew as a young man, went to Bible school with him, went to his wedding, and that's the last time I ever met him. I hadn't met him since then, so I didn't know him. Someone had to point him out to me in the crowd. He had heard that I was there and didn't know me either after all these years, and we talked. He was grateful. For a number of things in his life, he talked about a number of them. As our discussion went, it was not a very long discussion. We parted ways, and I thought about things that he said after I left that proved to me that he was a grateful man. He was a grateful man. Do we tell people the things that we're grateful for? Are we grateful for the input and the help that other people helped us with in life in years gone by? Can we look back at that and can we remember the help that we received from parents, brothers and sisters in the church, friends? Can we see that? Can we remember past blessings? And can we, because of a sense of gratitude in our heart, can we say, well, I'm going to repay them somehow and be determined that I will repay them for what they did. I will speak of their gratefulness. I will speak of their work in my life. A A grateful heart is able to see past blessings. You know, we can get to a point in life if we are too filled with greed and selfishness and the cares of this life, we can get to the point where we can't hardly see past blessings. All we can see is the curses, the difficulties. But can you see past blessings? That's a sign of a life that is full of gratitude. May God help us as children, young people, adults, to be men and women that have a song within our hearts that comes out. Shall we kneel for prayer?